So the OCD animal inside of me loves to see zeros straight across. 8 o'clock straight up and down. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you with us. What's going to be an absolutely perfect Monday and a perfect week. We start each Monday off with perfection here. The Sawdust Art Festival, which has been doing classes. Classes are back. We've had the opportunity to meet several of just amazing artists. We welcome this morning, as we do each and every Monday, for the Artist Corner, Frankie Duchesne. Welcome, Frankie.
Good morning, Ed.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Good weekend for you guys?
Great weekend, yes.
Good, good, good. We'll talk about the Sawdust Art classes in just a minute. I am fascinated by the story that you were just telling. Everything you just talked about off air, we're going to talk about on air now. your first piece of art that you picked up from the Sawdust was from the artist that you're sitting next to right now, right?
That is true, yes.
All right. Tell us the story, please.
Well, first, I'm so happy to have Hedy Bujan with me today. Did I say your last name correctly,
Bujan? You sure did.
Hedy, I met Hedy 10 years ago during the festival season. Hedy is a longtime Sawdust artist. We were just talking about her first year in the show. And my first summer, I assisted Hedy with her printmaking class. And at the end of the show, she gifted me a beautiful little monoprint, and I still have it to this day, and it was my very first piece of of Sawdust art.
That's fantastic. So for those of you that that have been around the Sawdust, have seen Hedy for years, she is a master printmaker. How long have you been at Sawdust, Hedy? A very good morning, by the way, and welcome. Thank you, Frankie, for introducing her to the audience.
Good morning, Ed. And it's been so long, I don't remember, but when I came back from... I was born in Laguna, and when I came back to Laguna after serving in the Peace Corps, my neighbor said, there's this thing you should do called the Sawdust Festival, and I did it, and I've been doing it ever since. So that was probably mid-80s.
Okay. Now, what specifically were you doing in the Peace Corps, by the way?
Oh, in the Peace Corps, I was first teaching at the Jamaica School of Art in Kingston, and then there was a lot of unrest in Kingston, so I was moved up to the North Coast to Runaway Bay, which is a pretty choice assignment. And working inland with women doing crafts and projects. And so I sort of had craft in my wheelhouse, and that's what I first did at the Sawdust. I did painted clothing.
Okay, now with all the traveling, is there any place like home?
There's no place like home. Although I was thinking as I was driving in here today that when I was a teenager, we just couldn't wait to get out of Laguna. I mean, there was, you know, we're talking 1970, there was like, you had to drive all the way to Santa Ana to find anything to buy.
So, right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, am I crazy when I say that, like, okay, monotypes, they require like etching, right?
They're similar. Actually, there's three different forms of printmaking, and one of them is called the intaglio family, and that's the etching. And what the class I'm going to do on the weekend is called a dry point, and that's like the very first form of intaglio printmaking dating from the Renaissance, where you just scratch, put ink in the scratches, and print it. And so that's a form of printmaking. Monotype, the word mono means one. There's no scratching at all. It's basically a printed painting.
Okay. And intaglio means to carve?
It means carving? To scratch,
okay,
yes.
To scratch, okay. And so, again, one of those dumb guy questions. You have to think backwards, don't you? Because as you print, you're kind of thinking backwards as you're creating the art, or inside out.
That is absolutely true. You what's right on the right is on the left, when
right.
It turns out. So I always discourage anyone from writing "I love Tom" on their print because it's not going to be very good. And monotype's even more complicated because the first color is the last color, but.
Right.
You have to see it to understand that one.
Right. And you do other forms of art as well, right?
Yes, I'm a painter. Right. I primarily abstract with an emphasis on landscape and a collage. I taught at Saddleback for many years and taught like 10 different subjects. So, yeah, I got a lot of them in my wheelhouse.
Can you ever get out of... is there a difference between being in the teacher's brain and being in just the flow of the artist's brain? Is there a difference?
That is such a great question. I'm really fortunate and unfortunate in that I can do that right brain, left brain thing, but I have to understand, you know, there's a time to create and there's a time to evaluate.
Right.
So, you know, I try to teach that to my students as well.
How do you walk that back? How do you balance that?
I think just recognizing, you know, telling yourself, okay, I'm just making now. I'm not criticizing. So, and that's something that students really have to get over, because when people start, especially with drawing, they're constantly going, it doesn't look like a nose. It doesn't look like a nose. And, you know, it's not supposed to look like a nose. It's supposed to look like a little shape. And so if you can, you know, the biggest thing is keying people into looking like an artist. So that's another thing. When I say looking like an artist, it means being able to see shape, form, and line.
Right.
So there's a really neat exercise I give that anybody can do, which is when you're not driving, but when you say you're walking and just decide to pretend you have a group of sunglasses and one pair is blue, and when you put on the blue sunglasses, all you see in as you look at it at the landscape is line. And it's interesting. You'll suddenly start to see all the like telephone poles and the pavement lines and whatever. And then put those off, put on the green pair, and just look at shape. And all of a sudden, you'll start to see circles and triangles. And that's what I mean by looking with an artist's eye.
Well, that is a beautifully, that's beautifully described. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Is there an art form that you have yet to try that you'd really like to get your hands into?
Now, that is a great question. I think I'd like to, you know, when I was a little girl, even though it's really funny because I don't think in 3D very well,
right.
I wanted to be a landscape architect. So when I think of somebody like Noguchi, the Noguchi Gardens up by South Coast Plaza,
right.
The idea of creating a whole environment with that you move in terms of light and space,
right.
I don't think I'm going to do that this lifetime, but you asked me, so that's the answer.
Okay, no, that's a fair answer. I'm curious. How much can you push the idea of abstraction in a recognizable environment, for instance?
Well, I think it's just the opposite, actually, at least for my brain. I think that it's really hard because I paint some. So in abstraction, people think that they'll think an abstraction. They think of someone like Rothko, which is just pure shapes and colors and forms,
right.
But it's still really hard for me, at least, to look at Rothko and not see like a horizon and a sense of light that it makes me think of dawn or of night or of sunset. So I think we're always taking what we know about the world and putting it onto an image. That's actually the way artists get away with what we do, because you know, it's really just a piece of paper with some marks on it or a piece of canvas with some colors on it. And yet we are willing to say, hey, that's, you know, Hotel Laguna. Well, it's not Hotel Laguna. It's a piece of canvas with some color on it. So the viewer is always supplying the reality. When you paint purely abstractly, one of the things you have to get rid of is trying to not make too many overt references to it, but it's a continuum. So like I say, I do landscape abstraction. The landscape is always present in my work, even though it's primarily colors, shapes, lines, and forms.
I need to take a moment and tell you how much I love this conversation. I am absolutely loving this conversation. If you're just joining us, Hedy Bujan, an amazing master printmaker, but artist across the board. We'll get you into that landscape stuff. We'll get you in there. So are you can you work on several different types of art at the same time, or is it a one time I'm working on this and I'm focused on this, or can you have a few different projects going?
I like to have a few different projects going.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, I like to, almost every artist will tell you this, that you start something and you're thrilled with it.
Right.
And then comes the part where you're not thrilled with it. And you know, most artists go, you know, from, oh, I'm the second Michelangelo to, oh, dear, I chose the wrong career. And somewhere in between that, eventually something becomes interesting and you follow that interesting direction and you have to keep with it. But sometimes, as to answer your question, it's good to just like set it aside and go make a dry point or do something else. Or, you know, and I do things like, you know, you're giving me a lot of props here, but I do things that are decorative and fun.
Right.
You know, I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah. You deserve all the props you're getting there. I swear you do. Are working on anything now that you can let us in on? That's just a tasty little project.
I just finished something that's just an oddity for me. I think last year I did out of nowhere these cartoon-like images of Eve, and they're big. I did them on paper, and I took them to the sawdust, and both of them like immediately sold, which was like really surprised me. And I just did two more, not necessarily to sell them, but because they just were bugging me, you know. But they're like big oversized cartoons, nothing like my other work. So,
all right. Yes. Okay.
Are they like the one that I purchased from you over the winter? It was a smaller print. It was a smaller original of a woman. I believe she was a nude, or she was modestly nude, covered with an animal. She had a dog.
Oh yeah, it's that
same series.
Is that same series?
Yes, I was just. It's in my studio. I love it.
They're things that just pop up. Mm-hmm. But we are having a class. We should talk about the class.
Yes, Hedy does have a class this Friday.
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Sure. obviously you like to teach. You do it well. Are you in your comfort zone teaching?
I'm in my comfort zone teaching. When I, you know, the other thing other than being a landscape architect, I wanted to be an art teacher. So right. I was one, and I am one. So right. I that's part of the sawdust, is that experience of coming and making art. And so the sawdust art classes are a great thing. And I just sort of at the sawdust developed this technique of making dry points. So dry points are simple etchings that you scratch on plastic instead of metal.
Right.
And anybody can make them. They're very user-friendly, and it introduces people to the whole idea of hand-making. So that's one of the things about me at the sawdust that makes me slightly different than a lot of the 2D people, is I don't do any commercially made reproductions. If it's a multiple, I made it. So this introduces people to that process. And I also teach a way to do these at home by hand. So, I mean, we have a little press that we use when we're in the studio, but I also do a demo so that if somebody wants to take their plates and print some cards or make some more prints or do it with their kids. And I've done this same project at Thurston in years past, and we've had really good results with kids. You're young preteens at Thurston age, but it's just a really user-friendly technique. You don't have to have drawing skills. If you can trace, you can make a dry point.
Right. I can imagine with the clarity of your responses this morning, the how well the classes go and how great a teacher you are. Frankie, when can we take her class?
Her class is this Friday at 10 a.m. Okay. And you can find more information on our website at sawdustartfestival.org. You can register right there on the online. Just click the tab for sawdust art classes.
Okay. And you've got classes all weekend long?
We do. We have classes all weekend long. Fernando McKelly's Colorful Carp and Acrylic debuts this weekend on Friday as well. That one is at 5 p.m. and includes wine for our After Dark series. And then over the weekend, we have Robert Jones with Pottery Wheel Experience. It's very popular, always sells out. You want to get your tickets early to that. And Introduction to Mosaic Art with Ron Shearer. This is his second session. So each class is in two parts. So this next one is the first part of one of two, which is this Saturday, and then the following weekend as well. And then he has one more session in June. So you want to catch that as well. That's very unique, his Introduction to Mosaics.
And I'm reminding our listeners to register soon, because they sell out fast. These classes go fast.
They do.
Am I forgetting anything for this weekend?
No, I mean, we have many other classes happening. We have also a new class called Beaded Baubles with Nancy Williams, a jewelry class. We actually have several jewelry classes debuting these next couple of weeks.
Excellent.
You definitely want to check out our website for information about our classes. We have classes launching every week pretty much. And then we have a very special event coming up in June that we'll have more information about as we get closer.
All right. You go to sawdustartfestival.org. Frankie Duchesne, Director of Marketing, Sawdust Art Festival historian. Thank you so very much for introducing us to Hedy Bujon this morning. Hedy, it was an absolute pleasure, and have a fantastic rest of the day. And thank you for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's 8:13. Thank you both. I appreciate you both being here. 8:13 on the Mornings with Ed show.